You're listening to the Assembly Call IU Podcast and Postgame Show, the place where Indiana fans across the globe hang out online after every IU basketball game. Activate your free Assembly Call membership today at assemblycall.com/join. That's assemblycall.com/join.
That is how you're a champion. It really is.
And now, get ready for another brand new edition of the Assembly Call. And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another disappointed episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight, the barn strikes again, and the Minnesota Golden Gophers defeat your Indiana Hoosiers 75-74, getting an offensive rebound and a bucket with 3.2 seconds left in a game that Indiana had a chance to win. They made several plays offensively down the stretch, but gave up 15 points to Minnesota over the final 4 minutes. And actually had done a really nice job on the defensive glass in the second half, but did not secure the biggest rebound of the game. And the Hoosiers' losing streak continues. The Hoosiers fall to 5-9 in the conference, and a winnable game on the road, a huge opportunity to try to build some kind of positive momentum here late in the season, slips through the Hoosiers' fingers. Did I mention I hate the barn? I'm Jared Morris, your host on this episode of the Assembly Call. I will be joined by Andy Bottoms and Ryan Phillips as we break down this latest Indiana loss here tonight. And we start, as we always do, with our banner moment. And for the banner moment, you know, I want to take you back in the second half. It was 65-60 as James Blackman Jr. hit another three-pointer to put Indiana up five. Things are looking good. Well, on the next possession, Thomas Bryant took a three really early in the shot clock, and not a great shot. Really felt like Indiana should have worked it more to get a good shot. And Minnesota went on a quick 4-0 run. So it was 65-64 Indiana. Momentum was on the side of Minnesota. And so what does Indiana do? But they go into their most reliable offensive player over the past few games, which has been Deron Davis, and they pounded inside to Deron Davis, and he scores. And it was a theme all night when Deron Davis was in the game. Minnesota had no answer, and he could get a good shot up on the rim or get fouled almost any time he wanted to. That bucket put Indiana up 67-64. On the next defensive possession, Deron got a big rebound. On the next offensive possession, Deron got an offensive rebound and a bucket. And just like that, Indiana went back up 69-64 because of the great play of Deron Davis, who once again, in another loss for Indiana, was by far the biggest bright spot. Deron finished with 10 points. He had three offensive rebounds. The box score I'm looking at says he had five rebounds, but I know on the telecast they said he had seven. He was 4 of 6, got to the free throw line, and that was in only 9 minutes. So obviously, you know, Deron as a freshman is going to have to learn how to play without fouling. Although in his defense, I thought several of those fouls were really ticky-tack, and I have a hard time blaming him for those.
You don't say.
Yeah, I know. But he was once again the bright spot for Indiana. And I will say, honorable mention to Thomas Bryant, who struggled all night long offensively, but scored those last 4 points for Indiana to give them a chance to win and put them up 74-73. With those huge free throws, and I almost chose that as the banner moment. But when we talk about hope for the future for Indiana basketball, you know, Deron Davis to me right now is a guy who's starting to realize how good he is, starting to play with a lot of confidence, and just has a very mature game for a freshman. And if you're an Indiana fan, you have to be enthused about that. I know that another loss is tough, but the bright spot again was Deron Davis, and that was great to see. Well, that is our Hoosier Proud banner moment for tonight, and our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Proud, which is an Indiana-based brand by Hoosiers for Hoosiers. And, you know, Connor and the team at Hoosier Proud, they have an incredible product line of T-shirts and accessories, from their really cool Indiana Outline T-shirt to the Abraham Lincoln T-shirt that I was telling you about before. And they produce our stuff. They have a really cool Assembly Call T-shirt with both our circular logo and the text logo. They just put up a new zip-up hoodie with our logo on it. So go check them out. And the nice thing is when you go to Hoosier Proud, whether you buy Assembly Call gear or whether you buy some of their other gear that helps you celebrate your pride in being a Hoosier, use the promo code Assembly, A-S-S-E-M-B-L-Y, and you will receive 15% off your entire order. Again, that's promo code Assembly to receive 15% off at HoosierProud.com. All right, well, let's make the extra pass, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. Andy, we go to you for your bottoms line on another disappointing Indiana loss.
This one had the complete range of emotions, I would say. I mean, I felt like I was sitting here just kind of waiting for something to go wrong. And even when IU was up in the first half, it was like they should be up more. Minnesota was playing so poorly. And then, you know, you kind of go in at halftime down 4 points, wondering, you know, how could you be losing when the other team had played so badly? And then you see IU fight back and you wonder where that fight has been during some of these other games. And then you move to all the, you know, the kind of just small plays that might not seem like much of the time, but in a game that ends up being one possession, you just look at, you know, some of the same little mistakes, the, you know, inopportune turnover, the, you know, in this case, the one that sticks out is the Robert Johnson trying to, you know, makes a great steal, a great play defensively, and then just throws an inexplicable pass that had no chance of getting to James Blackman, throws it out of bounds. You've got that Bryant three, Jared, that you mentioned was another one with a real chance to gain momentum. Both of those were just, you know, chances to go up three possessions and they, you know, weren't able to do that. And, and then a missed blockout on the last play. You know, Robert Johnson probably could have done a little bit better job on his guy, although he just was taller and seemed to jump over him. But Blackman, you know, stood and watched his guy go right after the ball, after the guy had taken just a terrible shot. And I think everybody on IU seemed to kind of freeze, like they thought there wasn't as much time left as there was. I'm really not sure. And so you just kind of run through the range of emotions that the game brought. And it was, the end is kind of the dejection that I almost felt like was coming, even though you just didn't know when. And I think this one is going to be, for all the struggles we thought this team would have to kind of get up off the mat after the Michigan game, with the way things have gone and the way this game finished, I just don't know how this team rebounds from this.
I don't know either. Let's go over now to Ryan Phillips for his rant brought to us by thebiglead.com.
I don't even really have a rant other than I just tweeted out that my remote is in 27 pieces somewhere around my apartment because of that last minute or so. I don't get mad at games. I don't get angry. I don't get upset. Really, I'm kind of even keel, which is unless it's at the Kohl Center, but that's a whole different story. I just, you know, it's just disappointing. And I think that it was, for me, the being upset at the end just came, it's sort of the whole season coming crashing down, you know, levels of upset. That's what caused it. It's not, well, this guy didn't block out. Well, you know, 1,000 of those in a season finally wears you down, but you know, guys make a mistake on a play, they lose. I get it, but it's just, this is one they should have had. I mean, this was absolutely a game they should have had. And they came out and quite frankly, played like they wanted to win it for most of the game. And then they just make stupid mistakes and lose it, you know? And to me, I think the story of the game is, who is Robert Johnson? Like, who is he? He's a guy who early in the year was somebody you could rely on. He was a guy last year you could rely on to at least play good defense and, you know, give you a, you know, hit a wide open three. And tonight he didn't start. He went 0-6 from the field, 0-4 from 3-point range. 5 rebounds, 3 turnovers, 2 assists and a steal. But, you know, he came in the game off the bench, took a terrible three, then threw the ball away immediately. And then I think he had another turnover after that. And it's like, who is this guy? I mean, is he the guy that we, you know, that for years have thought of as a constant and reliable guy who can at least get you 10 points and he'll play really good, hard defense? I thought he looked terrible defensively for parts of this game. And I don't know if it's just a confidence thing or what, but, you know, he's not a freshman where if his confidence gets shaken, you understand and you kind of let him work his way through it. He's a guy who's supposed to be a leader. He's the most senior member of this team right now. He's a guy who leads the team, you know, right now is the leader in starts on this team for his career. This is a guy who should be out there doing something, and he was awful tonight. And you know, I thought, you know, some other guys didn't play well either. I mean, I thought there were, you know, a guy like Juwan Morgan didn't make any shots, but at least he played hard and was involved. And you know, he was getting to the free throw line. And a guy like Josh Newkirk, again, was the one guard who was consistent the entire game, working and playing hard. And unfortunately, he fouled out, because I think if he had been on the floor at the end there, something might have changed. But, you know, it's just Robert Johnson needs to figure out where he stands as a basketball player. And is he just going to let his career pass him by like this and let this year define him? Or is he going to find a way to bounce back? Because we're not even talking about this year anymore. We're talking about the future, because that's all there is to hang on to. This year feels like it's done, and these guys feel like they're done.
Man, you know, Robert Johnson really is one of the biggest stories coming out of this game. I mean, Indiana loses by 1 point on the road. And Robert Johnson, right, who you said was one of the most reliable players for this team, we're a few weeks removed from me feeling bad of having a bold prediction of picking Robert Johnson to score 15 points and grab 15 boards, because he had been a lock for that in Big Ten play. And it's like, ever since then, I don't know what's going on. And I will say, Hoosier Twan in our chat just said, Jared, the Robert Johnson-Greg Graham comparisons are over. And yes, they are, until Robert Johnson starts playing like Robert Johnson again.
Hey, let me say,
no explanation for this.
And Robert Johnson being reliable isn't something where it was just a couple games this season. This has been 3 years of this, of him typically being a reliable guy. Even as a freshman, he was reliable, you know, to at least give you a solid effort. And now we don't even know what we're getting.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing with him to you know, certainly there are times when he is just overthinking. You can just see it, the simplest of plays. And you worry about, you know, some of the comments that Crean made after the game. Some guys really respond to that and some guys don't. And I don't know if that's something with Robert's personality, that he is taking that to heart too much and thinking too much about. I have no idea. We're not in there. We don't know him. We don't, you know, really understand. But it's one of those that I sit there and watch and say, like, is that the kind of criticism that he's able to really process and do something positive with, or does it really push him further into the funk that he seemed like he was already in?
Yeah, I don't know. We will certainly be talking more about Robert Johnson as we go through this episode of the Assembly Call. We'll of course talk about the bounce back effort from James Blackman Jr., who at least got his offense back on track. You know, some decent moments also from Juwan Morgan and Devontae Green. We'll talk about all of that coming up on this episode of the Assembly Call. First, I do want to take a quick minute and tell you about our other sponsor, SeatGeek. As you know, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It has always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites seem to want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. And that is why, when I was getting ready to go to the Mavericks game this week, SeatGeek is the place that I went and looked for tickets, because I knew that I would get the best deal there. And of course I did. And I got to go enjoy watching Yogi Ferrell score 13 straight points for the Mavericks in the first half and play really good defense on Isaiah Thomas. It was awesome to see Yogi live in person again. And it was very cool that SeatGeek was part of that experience, and allowing me to get the best deal on tickets as part of that experience. And so I highly recommend that you go to SeatGeek, whether it's sports, whether it's music, concerts, whatever. SeatGeek is the place to go. And the great thing is they do the price comparison for you, because they search multiple ticket sites, and that's how they ensure that you get the best possible deal. And best of all, when you're an Assembly Call listener, you get a $20 rebate on your first SeatGeek purchase. So the way that works is you download the SeatGeek app, or you can do it on the website if you want to, but go to the settings tab and click add a promo code and enter the promo code Assembly, Assembly, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So again, download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Assembly today. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I am Jared Morris here with Andy Bottoms and Ryan Phillips, commiserating after another last second loss to the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And guys, you know, we spent some time talking about Robert Johnson and just, you know, his continued struggles. And, you know, at this point with Robert, I'm almost more concerned and worried than I am mad, because when you see a guy who's been so reliable and has done certain things so well for so long, and now he's struggling like this, you know, as you guys said, whether it's confident, struggling with his role, something else going on in the program, you know, you just worry when you see a guy kind of fall off the cliff like this. And I'm having a hard time kind of thinking back to a guy that was playing at Robert's level and is now playing like this. And if you have any comparisons, I'd love to hear them. But in contrast, you know, in terms of responding to Tom Crean's comments after the Michigan game, James Blackman Jr. came through today. And while his defense was, you know, it's usually inconsistent, you know, the way it usually is inconsistent, it's tough to argue with 22 points on the road, some of the big threes that he made. He did have six boards. Wasn't a perfect performance by any means, but it was a heck of a lot better than what we've seen from him over the last couple of games. And he was at least kind of an offensive rock Indiana could rely on. You know, took him 17 shots to get his points, but on a night when so many guys are struggling and Thomas and Robert Johnson can't get going, you know, at least James was able to hold up his end of the bargain and score some points. So, you know, Ryan, again, an imperfect performance from him, but you go on the road, he gives you 22 points. You got to feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't have a problem with James's effort tonight. I mean, I thought at some points he was just hunting shots, but I thought other points he made some big shots and tried to get his team riled up with it. He's never going to play great defense, you know, spectacular defense, but I thought that he had an okay night. You know, 4 of 11 from three, but the shooting at the barn is almost impossible since the rims are different sizes, or different heights and different sizes. You know, so you never know what you're going to get there, but I thought that he hit some big shots, and certainly he had one big three late to give Indiana a pretty solid advantage. And then, you know, things just fell apart. I get it. It's not, you know, he's also three games removed from sitting out with a leg injury and looked like he got his leg rolled up on again tonight, but continued to play. You know, it's not one or two players. You know, it's just a general feeling with this team that anytime they have any adversity, the air goes out of the balloon for a little bit and it takes them a while to get back. And tonight honestly was the most fight they've shown in a while, I thought, as far as that goes. I mean, so I give them credit for that, for fighting to the end. They certainly fought to the end. They just didn't play smart, didn't play well at the end. I mean, James also threw that pass, you know, towards the end, Indiana the lead. He tried to throw it to, you know, and it was, he telegraphed it, and then threw it, and it got knocked away for a steal. I mean, you can't do that. You just can't, especially when you're a veteran. I mean, if Devontae Green or Curtis Jones makes that pass, it's a learning, you know, experience for them. But he can't do that, especially not in that situation. So, again, this is a team-wide problem. And last year, what we saw, and I hate comparing this team to last year because it's clearly they're not on the same level, but last year you saw when this team faced adversity, it galvanized guys and it got them focused and they rose to those challenges. And this year that this team just feels like they try and meet those challenges and just wilt. And it's sad to see, because as we've said numerous times on the show, most of these kids, I mean, as far as we know, they're very good kids. They seem not like nice kids. They seem to care. They are missing something that raises your game to another level when it needs it. And, you know, that's the difference between this year and last year. It's not. Yeah, I mean, I guess having those players like a senior point guard and a couple of seniors who can help lift you is the big deal. But it's not about missing points. It's not about missing rebounds. It's none of that. It's just missing that personality that raises your game to another level. And they don't have it. They just don't. I mean, and it's not me saying anything wildly out of touch, I think, or crazy or out of left field. We know that. They just cannot rise to a challenge. And it's sad. I mean, because, you know, like I said, there are guys out there playing hard.
Yeah, no question. You know, I talked about Deron Davis in the banner moment, but I want to give you guys both a chance to talk about him too. Andy, we'll start with you, because again, I mean, that was, you know, as impactful in 9 minutes as you could have. And, you know, he started, and it's not like Deron plays a ton of minutes. I mean, he's only been over 20 minutes once, but I mean, you can't help but think if he just plays 15 minutes, that's got to be good for at least the difference of one or two more points, given the way he was playing. You know, just one more level of disappointment for tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he just kind of couldn't stay away from, you know, silly fouls. I mean, I agree with you. Some of them were kind of cheap. I think the fourth one in particular, the guy really embellished the call, but you can't put yourself in a position where, you know, you put both hands on the guy and sure, he goes flying more than he normally would have, but you're just kind of drawing attention to it. So yeah, that was really disappointing. Was glad to see him get the start. Thought he had earned it and played well. And clearly was a focus of IU was to try to get the ball inside to he and Bryant. And I thought when you contrast those two, you know, I thought the physicality really gave Bryant some issues and forced him to take, you know, off balance shots fading away and get pushed out a little bit more, where it seemed like Deron actually thrived on that a little bit more. And I think that's what he likes to do. And you know, really took advantage of that. And then by the time, you know, I think it was Lynch when he fouled out of the game, you know, Minnesota didn't really have any answers for really either guy on the inside. So, you know, I think Davis continues to play well, made the nice pass to Juwan Morgan for a 3-point play as well. And I thought did a lot of good things, just couldn't keep himself on the court and couldn't kind of keep himself away from, you know, a couple silly ones.
Yeah. And Ryan, I want to get your thoughts on Deron Davis too. And then we'll talk about Thomas Bryant as well, but your thoughts on Deron's play tonight.
I thought he was outstanding. I mean, I think that Deron Davis is, and I said on Twitter, I said, you know, guys, Deron Davis is going to be really good, like really good. And I got a couple of responses where people said he's already good. I was like, no. He's good, but he's going to be really good. I mean, think about when he learns how to move his feet on defense and when he gets quicker and when he,
and I thought he did that better tonight too, actually.
Yeah. But like it's you know what I'm talking about, though. At times that's been an issue, and he's not going to be consistent with it until he has a full offseason to work on his agility and things like that. And you want to get me excited about Indiana basketball, ask me about Deron Davis. That's the guy. I mean, he is a guy who this team can build around. He's a block in the middle that they can build around. And, you know, he only played 9 minutes. I think it was 9 minutes. That's what my box score says. I don't know if that's official or not, but 10 points, 5 rebounds, a block, 5 fouls, 3 of which could have gone either way. You know, I mean, so whatever. He's a freshman. They're not going to give him those calls. But he's just a guy who has a purpose with everything he does on the floor, and he's smart and he knows how to play basketball. I've said this since he was a recruit, and we talked about him extensively at times in the offseason and last year when we talked recruiting. And I said that the thing I loved about him is he's not just a post guy. He's a basketball player. He has talent on multiple levels of the floor and can do things, and he's not going to hurt you. He's not going to screw you up. He's a smart guy with a high basketball IQ. Yeah, he's going to screw up sometimes because he's a freshman. But when he has a full offseason of working out and getting up to speed with his footwork, with his agility, and with his size, he's going to be a good one. He's going to be a guy that Indiana can build around for years.
And is it just me, or is he to me is starting to exhibit some signs of on-court leadership, a little bit more emotion on the court? You know, you kind of see him, you know, even there late on the bench, you know, when that, I think it was when Minnesota got that last bucket, you know, and he's, you know, kind of out in front, and you could see the disappointment, the hurt on his face. And, you know, at some point when your team is struggling, sometimes just caring and visibly showing how much you care and how much it hurts to waste a possession or not get a rebound is leadership by example for a team. And I realize that's kind of maybe a lame or very small example of leadership to point out. But when there's been so little leadership for this team this year, any place that you see it is an important thing. And I just think it's something, again, if it feels like we're lingering on Deron Davis a lot tonight, that's because it's a heck of a lot more fun than lingering on the rest of the things that they're
already
talking about.
Seriously, let us have this one, people.
let's just talk about Deron Davis all night and his 9 glorious minutes that he played tonight. Because, I mean, really, they were about as hopeful a thing as we've seen from Indiana since December, frankly. Because, I mean, what I think we see from him is just the confidence and the composure that he has down low, which is nice to see. You know, in contrast to Thomas Bryant, and let's talk about Thomas, because I thought early in the game, you know, Thomas was, you know, and John Crispin mentioned this, you know, he was playing hard and he was playing with energy. The thing with Thomas is he's an all Big Ten level player. So, you know, just playing with energy, getting a few rebounds, you know, that's the kind of thing that when Freddie McSwain does it, he's helping the team. When Thomas Bryant does it, he's not doing enough, you know, whether it's in terms of leadership or just production, whatever. He has to do more than score no points in the first 24 minutes. And to his credit, you know, he stuck with it and he made those 2 big buckets late. He finished with 8 points. But I also thought there was a stretch in the second half where he was hunting shots and he got frustrated. And, you know, he took a few wild drives into the lane. He took a 3 too early. And so it was a wildly inconsistent night for Thomas Bryant, which is not all that unlike how his season has been. But we've seen him on some games like he's had tonight where the offense isn't going struggle. But, you know, he did have 6 offensive rebounds. He had a couple of assists. So it wasn't a good night for Thomas Bryant, but it certainly wasn't all bad. And I give him credit for what he did there at the end because, hey, sometimes when you're a leader and nothing's going your way, you've still got to step up and make plays late when the opportunities present themselves. And they did. And so a really uneven night for Thomas Bryant overall. And I think one of the things we saw, and Andy, I want to get your thoughts on this, is you see with Deron Davis, He catches the ball in the right position, and he always makes the right first move. Like, he always turns to the right shoulder. He protects the ball. He just always seems to do the right thing first, and that puts him in a position to complete a solid post move. Thomas, it seems like too much, is either not making a move at all because he's tentative, or he's turning the wrong way or making the wrong one. And now he has to make up for it. And sometimes he can because he's so skilled at getting the ball up on the basket, but it's certainly not with the confidence and the relative ease with which we see Deron Davis do it.
Yeah, I mean, just to go back to, you know, what I mentioned earlier, I just thought they were super physical with him, and he struggled with that in a way almost similar to the, you know, North Carolina game in the tournament last year, where they really just shoved him around and forced him out further on the floor. And I think the other thing, because of that, he doesn't end up getting quite as deep a position, and so he's forced to do more off the dribble versus Deron Davis is doing a lot more with his feet. And we've all talked about how good Davis's footwork has been over the course of the season, and he's continued to show that. He's getting the ball in a position where he doesn't have to dribble. He doesn't have to dribble into plays. He can do that and has done that on occasion. But I think he's done a much better job of acting quickly, as you said, and making a good first move. But he's doing that with his feet and a little bit less with the dribble because of where he's getting positioned. And I think Bryant at times has been hesitant and gives that double team time to come or to read which direction he's going to turn. And then at that point, it's almost too late because he's, you know, in a position, he's already in his motion or trying to do something else. So I think it's initially positioning. And then I think once they get the ball where they want it, I think it's footwork. It's just the difference you see between the two of them.
Yeah, I wanted to mention this. You get the sense that Thomas Bryant weighs more than Deron Davis, but Deron Davis is heavier than Thomas Bryant. Like, it's harder to move him. Like, it's just a different type of weight. And he's just, when he gets in position or when he tries to get position, it's harder to move him. He's like a rock. Whereas Bryant, you feel like he's a, you know, almost like a tree that you can bend over and push away, you know? And
Thomas just has a great basketball behind, you know? Like, he's got that. Davis. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, Deron does.
Yeah, I think that's true. He just gets into position, and he's just more solidly built from the ground up, I think, than Bryant is. Maybe it's just natural genetics or whatever, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's a lot harder to move him around.
So, you know, real quick, guys, you know, kind of the night for Tom Crean, you know, obviously he makes the decision to start Deron Davis. I think that certainly seems like a good decision, even though Deron got himself into foul trouble. You know, I really thought in the first half in particular, something jumped out at me, and this happens a lot, and I feel like I sometimes forget to mention it here on the show. But, you know, Indiana had made a nice run. They're up 22-12 at one point, or 22-12 at one point. And, you know, Minnesota immediately goes on a run, and the run ends up being a 19-4 run. But there was an 8-0 run in there. And, you know, just thinking to myself, you know, so often we see Indiana go on a little run where they'll score 5 points, they'll score 7 points, and the opposing coach will take a quick timeout, settle his team down, get a nice play, and kind of get things settled. And Indiana never did that in the first half. Now, to Crean's credit, you know, he did it in the second half. There was a point where, you know, Minnesota started going on a little run right before the under 12-minute timeout, and Crean took a timeout, which was nice. But I just, you know, this is one of those quibbles that I have with Tom Crean, because a lot of times he'll end a game with timeouts in his pocket. But for, we've seen so often, you know, this team struggles with leadership. And so when things start to snowball badly, it seems like there's no one who will step up and make a play. And so you wish that the coach would step up and provide that leadership by taking a timeout, bringing the guys over, and just trying to settle them down. Or if nothing else, just stop the momentum, especially on the opposing team's floor. And it seems like a lot of opportunities pass us by to do that. And look, if we're struggling with leadership and you're not getting it from anywhere else, it needs to come from the coach. And, you know, especially in that instance in the first half, I would have liked to see more of that. Any thoughts, Andy, just on the in-game work from Tom Crean that you saw tonight?
Yeah, I think there was another stretch like that in the second half, and Newkirk ended up, maybe it was the first half, I don't know, Newkirk ended up hitting a big three at whichever half it was, and it was like, all right, this felt like it had gone a possession too far, and so in that case, it kind of worked out. But the other thing that I thought was odd was, you know, the move to start Devontae Green was interesting. I think you tweeted this out before the game. Just his minutes and role have been kind of all over the place, it feels like, in the last handful of games, and so was kind of, you know, I pointed out that, you know, with all the talk of turnovers, you know, starting Green and Newkirk, you know, with two of the top three turnover rates on the team was kind of an odd reaction to that. But I thought Green played really well, particularly in the first half. And he didn't play. He played 6 seconds over the last 10 minutes and 11 seconds of the first half after IU had outscored Minnesota by 10 points with him on the court. And I just thought that was strange. I don't know, you know, what happens in those scenarios. He played, I think, about 13 minutes in the second half, and I don't think he fared, you know, quite as well from a plus minus standpoint. But I thought he gave some good minutes and played some good defense on Nate Mason, which, you know, virtually everybody else was really struggling with. And so I thought that was a good, you know, kind of pregame move to put him in. He responded well. But then his usage, particularly in the first half, was fairly odd to me, given how well he had played at the onset. And the other thing I would say is, you know, trying to kind of compile some of the lineup stuff as we're doing this. I mean, 25 unique lineups used over the course of the game, 15 over the course of the first half. It is, with injuries that have shortened the bench a little bit, and being this far into the season, it is amazing to me that it's still at a point where the shuffling in and out of guys is just continuous. And maybe it shouldn't after having done this for a while. But
do you think that any of that had to do with the crazy foul trouble they had?
I think some of it is, but
I know consistently he has a lot of lineups. I'm just, yeah, just talking specifically tonight. You said 15 in the first half, and then
yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, there was 15 in the first half. I think 14 different ones in the second half. More changes, but you know, a few were reused there. I don't know. I think that certainly played a factor, but it's pretty. It just seems, just to develop the continuity and the kinds of things that this team really needs. I don't know that that's helping. I don't think that's the root of the issues by any means, but it's a, you know, just kind of strange to look at. So yeah, I would agree. It was kind of a mixed bag from him. I thought that, you know, the buttons he pushed from a starting lineup standpoint really seemed to work out well. You could even say that, you know, Juwan Morgan really responded or just plays better off the bench, as we've talked about before. And I think that part of it worked out well. The Robert Johnson piece, I'm not sure where, you know, what role he would have been in tonight. I'm not sure it would have mattered. I think, as we talked about before, I think everything's, you know, in his head. So I'm not sure that starting or not starting had a whole lot to do with that one. But I thought, you know, made some good decisions, but made some odd ones as well overall. And I guess that's kind of what we've really kind of come to feel is the norm of the season is just the inconsistency.
I want to dish out some kudos for the single most impressive moment of the entire night that I saw tonight. That is coming up on the Assembly Call. First, I do want to take a quick minute and remind you why you should activate your free Assembly Call membership if you haven't already. There are three reasons. Number one, it's quick and easy. So go to assemblycall.com/join. It will take you 15 seconds or less. Insert Rick Pitino joke here. Also, it's how you get our best content. So by joining, you'll receive our weekly six-banner Saturday IU Hoops News Roundup, as well as our detailed post-game analysis emails. We send them out the day after every game, and we only send them out to our email subscribers and our members. And plus, it's how you connect with us in the Assembly Call community. Only members can access our moderated post-game live chat and our free members-only forum. So if you like what you hear on the Assembly Call, becoming a member is the next logical step. Join us for free at assemblycall.com/join. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with Andy Bottoms and Ryan Phillips discussing Indiana's crushing 75-74 loss to the Minnesota Golden Gophers that sends the Hoosiers tumbling even further down in the Big Ten standings, now 5-9. With very little light at the end of the tunnel. You know, in some ways, this was an impressive performance tonight coming off of how bad it was against Michigan. But once again, the Hoosiers unable to execute down the stretch and make the winning plays they needed to get the win. You know, I do want to highlight a play from the first half that I thought was really impressive. And, you know, we've mentioned Josh Newkirk, and I thought his energy was really a big part of Indiana getting off to their good start in the first half. He had a couple of steals, you know, went coast to coast a couple of times, drove in with purpose. He hit a really, really important three-pointer, too. When Minnesota went on their run in the first half, the run that I was talking about where Crean didn't stop it with timeouts, they go up 31-26, and it felt like they were getting ready to blow it open and that they might lead by 9 or 10 at the half. Josh Newkirk hit a big three that made it 31-29, and I thought at the moment that was really big to just settle things down and make sure that Indiana only went down. They ended up going into the half down 4, but it could have been a lot worse without that. But the single most impressive moment I saw tonight was Josh Newkirk when he went for that layup and tumbled. He got fouled and tumbled all the way out of bounds off of the raised Williams Arena floor onto the concrete. I'm pretty sure if that happened to me, I would have had to quit basketball or at least take the rest of the season off to let my broken body heal. And Josh Newkirk, you know, kind of takes a moment, pops right back up and gets back out there on the court. And it's just a reminder of how tough these guys are. And again, you can quibble with individual plays and all that stuff with a guy like Newkirk. But man, you know, to be able to be tough enough to take that spill and get right back out there, that to me was a pretty impressive moment. And again, just another reason why I don't understand why they have that stupid raised floor. But whatever.
The NCAA needs to get rid of raised floors. They should have gotten rid of raised floors years ago, and they need to get rid of them now. And by the way, it's disgusting that Williams Arena has concrete there. I mean, at least put a padded surface down. Like, you know that's going to happen several times a season. And when you have chairs, like hard metal chairs and concrete there for those kids to fall on, it's ridiculous. And the raised court, as it is anyway, should be... it should be outlawed. You know what? Move the court back. If you're going to do that, move the court back 10 feet on either end and put chairs right up to the court if you want. I don't know. But that race court stuff is absurd. And somebody's going to get seriously hurt at some point and sue the pants off a university for it. And rightfully so. It's dangerous and it needs to go away. And it's, and again, the fact that there's just concrete there and Josh Newkirk fell on his head on concrete is, I mean, he could have cracked his head open. And it would have, I mean, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I mean, I don't know. It's ridiculous and it's a stupid thing. And I've said that about the NCAA tournament for years. They should not be playing on raised floors. It is incredibly unsafe.
See, that would have made for a good rant to start the show. You got rants all throughout tonight.
Yeah, seriously, I could make that rant three times a day though. And pay attention in March. I'll probably make it again when they start playing in these arenas.
You realize I haven't opened it up for you yet for your thoughts on Kareem, but I'm assuming you have some.
You really want to do this now?
I was going to talk about Juwan Morgan, but if you want to go,
before you start, I think anybody who's listened to this show for a long time it probably finds it stunning that if there was money put down on any of us to write any kind of "it's time to move on from Tom Crean" post, I would have been the odds-on favorite by a wide margin. But Ryan beat me to it this week, so I will use that as the intro for you to share whatever thoughts you have in light of tonight.
You can cede the floor to the honorable gentleman from San Diego. Look, you guys were sitting there talking about instances that Crean did things and whatever, and all I could think was I don't care. I mean, not because of what you were saying. I'm not interested anymore in that. I'm really not. I just feel like, try as he might, and Tom Crean tried tonight. You could see people are throwing GIFs up on the internet of him, you know, exhorting his team to do something, but clearly the message doesn't get through. And we've talked about that before with him. It's not about his effort. It's not about his intensity. It's not about his love for the program. It's not about caring about the kids. None of that. He does all of that fine. It's the ability to translate what he wants done to the kids and get them to play that way that has been an issue in the years that he's struggled. And it has come up too consistently to ignore anymore. It just has. And last year was a wonderful year, one of the most fun years I've ever had as a fan. Cody Zeller's second year was one of my favorite years as a fan. I loved those. But the other years have been maddening for their inconsistency. And there's a lot of things that Tom Crean has done that we can be proud of. And that he should be proud of. He brought the program back from the brink of extinction, it felt like. And there's been no bigger cheerleader for Indiana in his time at IU. He's a guy who works incredibly hard, and his assistants work incredibly hard. He's been very good at developing players, and he's been great at the academic side of things and all of that. But none of that matters if you cannot do the main thrust of your job consistently, which is to get your guys to play winning basketball. And the Hoosiers, in his tenure, for the most part, have not played winning basketball. And I just think it's time for a new voice. I'm not sitting here saying he's a bad guy, a horrible coach. I'm not going to do that because that's not fair to him for the work he's put into Indiana. But I think that it's time for a new voice. And I think it's time for somebody else to get a crack at this and to see what they can do, because I think that Tom Crean has said this is his ninth season, and you know, we've had some successes and we'll always remember those successes, but I think it's better for both parties if something moves on, because I think it's getting to the point where it'll be uncomfortable for him to be there if he's there another year.
Well, I think you see that. Go ahead, Jared.
Well, I was just going to say, Ryan used the word cheerleader, which is an interesting word to use, given Crean's catching some heat for on his post-game radio show saying they're crushed and my number one job is to be their cheerleader, which is kind of probably an unfortunate phrase to use. I get what he's saying.
Yeah,
unfortunately, sometimes he can't help himself by saying things that are going to get misconstrued.
You know,
and that's a very silly, small thing to harp on. That's the problem now is those things are going to get blown out of proportion.
Well, here's the thing. When you're winning, nobody cares about those little misspeaking, you know, or whatever. Last year, we rarely concentrated on anything he said in post-game press conferences being like, oh, that's kind of weird, because they were winning games, so nobody cares. But when you're losing, everybody looks for something, and we're guilty of it too. I mean, we are. It's you know, we like to think of ourselves as the level-headed fans, but we're guilty of it too. And
speak for yourself.
That's right. You're the opposite of level-headed. But I think that Indiana fans, and if you're listening out there, I implore you to this. If this winds up being a divorce coming up, be classy about it. Thank him for his service, because he did provide a service to the university for a long time, and he's not a bad person, and we shouldn't treat him like a bad person. The way Mike Davis left was a black eye on Indiana fans. It's a scar that's still there. And Mike Davis made it even worse for Indiana fans when he came back and was nothing but gracious. You know, when he visited with his team, was that last year or 2 years ago? I don't remember.
Davis is just as classy as they come.
He's the classiest guy. And all it did to me was bring up memories of how poorly he was treated. And you don't want to get tarred with that brush, because guess what? When you're going out interviewing new candidates, they're going to look at how the fan base treated the past coach and treated his family and treated everyone around him. So I think if you're an Indiana fan out there, it's okay to say, okay, this guy is not the coach I want, but that doesn't mean he's a terrible person and we shouldn't treat him like that. And quite frankly, I'm embarrassed that I have to say that because of how we've seen coaches treated before by Indiana fans. So just remember that he's not a bad person. He's just not a coach who's having the kind of success that Indiana should have. And it's probably time to move on. That's all I'll say about that. And so I implore you as fans to be classy and meet that level of classiness that is expected of fans of our university.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would add, and you guys touched on a lot of it, was I think you see now what it would be like if this year wasn't the end, right? I mean, it's just a feeding frenzy of everything that comes out of his mouth at this point, whether it's my number one job is their cheerleader or some of the things that, you know, the team got better tonight. People don't want to hear that at this point. And it might not even be wrong. You did see in some ways this team did take some steps forward, you know, in this game, or some individuals did. But at this stage of the season, people don't want to hear that, and they're just looking for a reason to get upset about it. And at that point, it's like you're not going to – there's no coming back from that. And I think it was – you know, it's even been a couple years ago. I think, you know, Gary Parrish brought it up. It might have even been about Crean, but it was about, you know, some coach that was on the hot seat. And it's like once you're there, it doesn't go away. It might get a little bit cooler for a time, but it's always still there, kind of burning in the end. And so – I think you see that in these games, and we're going to continue to see it and have to kind of, you know, find our way to, you know, handle that, you know, lean toward doing that ourselves down the stretch, because it's going to be easy to do, because there's not a whole lot, you know, to get excited about short of, you know, talking about Deron Davis for the, you know, the duration of future postgame shows.
I'm for that. I think we could rename the show the Deron Davis Show.
I like it.
Or we could, hey, Deron and Devontae. Something like that.
Yeah.
But let me just jump in real quick and just say, and when I want to clarify something I was saying earlier, when you guys were talking about Crean and what he had done well and done wrong in this game, when I said that I don't care, it's not that I don't care. That was a horrible way to phrase it, but everybody else is going to be nitpicking what he does. And it's almost like, I feel like I'm going to have to, if I talk about this on this show, I'm going to have to hear about it for the next week, you know? And it's like, it's so just tiring. It's exhausting to sit here and nitpick everything anybody does, whether it's in politics, sports, whatever. It just gets tiring. And you know what? We can sit here and come up with the same complaints every single show. It's not going to change anything. It's not going to make me feel better. And it's not going to make the listeners feel better. If anything, they're going to get angrier. So, I mean, I almost feel like, yeah, we've got to address it, but I feel like we've got to spend as little time on it as possible because it's just, you know, it's the same thing every game and it's the same complaints and it's not going to change until there's a change made.
All right, so do I have permission to speak freely? It's just the three of us here, right?
Just yeah, us, nobody's just, listening.
Just us guys.
Just point, if you're out there and you're listening, please tweet us. Let us know why.
There was some speculation between what I assume is Galen on the Crimson Cast account and Alex McCarthy wondering whether Crean knew that the post-game radio shows with Fish were actually aired. So, you know, it's probably good for you to clarify that people are listening to this and can hear it. So go ahead. Have at it.
Let me, okay, so I just want to toss a theory out to you guys. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about these things, as you do too. So let me just throw out a theory because, Ryan, you're absolutely right. You know, nitpicking Crean's decision or non-decision to call a timeout in the first half really doesn't mean very much in the grand scheme of things. It's a continuation of what we've seen. And frankly, I don't think that Crean's in-game coaching is that great. Sometimes it's better, I think, than he's given credit for, but often it's not. Here's what I'm starting to think is the problem with Indiana basketball, and let me get your thoughts on this, is that Indiana is a program right now that has branded itself a player development program. That is Indiana's national brand right now as a program. You know, Crean is branded as this guy who helps develop players, finds diamonds in the rough, and also helps, you know, elite recruits like Cody Zeller and Yogi Ferrell get to the NBA. And he's got a track record of doing it. It's not, there's certainly no myth making there. I mean, he has actually done that. But I feel like we've almost gone overboard with it. And now, you know, we are to this point where it's all about player development, you know, getting to the NBA. And I sometimes wonder if that comes at the expense of the team concept. Because if what players are sold when they're coming in is all about player development, we'll get you to the NBA. And look, that has to be part of the recruiting pitch. And I have nothing against helping guys reach their dreams, but it does also have to be balanced with winning basketball games at Indiana and coming together for a team concept and, you know, not allowing, you know, the development or even the showcasing of certain players and certain skills to overshadow what's going on with the team. And, you know, who knows, you know, does a guy like Robert Johnson feel a little bit lost in the shuffle because he's not kind of on the NBA track? He's a solid college guard, but he's not a guy like a James Blackman Jr., an OG, and a Thomas Bryant that's talked about as going to the NBA. And when the program is branded like that, is there even just an incentive, even if it's not a conscious incentive, but an unconscious incentive to, you know, I don't, preferential treatment isn't the right word, but to focus extra on getting those guys, developing those guys, because that's what you're selling publicly. Not to mention, if you're going to do that, you have to have elite talent to still win that way. And Indiana isn't recruiting elite talent, so they're trying to have this player development program with, you know, some 4- and 3-star guys, and it's just not adding up. So again, this isn't a fully fleshed out theory, but it's kind of what I feel like I'm seeing over the last few years, and I'm not sure what the future of it is, given the some of the recruits that we have coming in and given what we've seen of these collapsing teams that don't seem to have strong internal leadership, don't seem to have strong togetherness outside of last year, which was a pretty special group with a really mature senior in Yogi Ferrell, who is a supreme talent, mature guys like Zeisloft and Bielefeld, that all kind of coalesced. And I don't see a road map to getting back to that. Which is why, you know, I tend to agree with you, Ryan. Do you guys give that theory any credence, or am I just talking out of my rump trying to make sense of something that
well,
doesn't
it's
make
probably
sense?
The latter anyway, but I don't know. I mean, you've got to have a draw for kids to want to come to school there. So the player development thing has gotten a lot of focus because you took Victor Oladipo and Dwayne Wade from being nothing to being NBA players. I don't know. I mean, again, it's one of those things where it's like,
and we're not inside the program, so it is hard to know. I just wonder if that creates conflicts or the wrong kind of incentives for coach and player that don't always lead toward cohesive, solid team basketball, because that's what we're seeing.
I don't know. It's one of those things where there could be 1,000 reasons for that, you know, and it's like, if that's one that maybe leads to it, yeah, maybe it's something that he needs to examine, you know, but at the same time, you know, is it, it also rewards guys who work harder too. I don't know.
I know. Andy, what do you think?
I think you could see some of it. I think what it does is, again, from a fan's perspective, you start to see things that happen on the court get put into that context, right or wrong. So all the Bryant stuff around, why is he putting the ball on the floor so much? And why is he playing on the outside? And that's because is Green trying to showcase him for whatever? Like, I think at the very least, it lends itself to those kinds of criticisms feeling at least like they could be true. And I don't think that's the great place to be. I mean, I guess that's probably all I would add to what you guys said. I think it just opens, you just open yourself up for some other things. But the reality is at this point, I think he could do whatever he wanted to and say whatever he wanted. And even if some people thought it was perfect, there's going to be other people who figure out, a reason to think that it's terrible. So I'm really not, I don't know how much of that there is, but it's, it's interesting. But some of his better teams have also had those guys that have, developed and done that. So it's like just having guys who have, been a symbol of that player development hasn't necessarily meant that those teams weren't as good. But I do think there's an identity component to it of, what is this team really hang its hat on? And that's something that we've struggled to figure out for the entirety of the year.
Yeah, no kidding. And just a lack of accountability with ongoing issues. All right. Anything else that we need to touch on with tonight's game? I mean, just from a quick numbers perspective, Indiana did keep the turnover percentage under 20, which is kind of progress, especially with how bad it started. And the Hoosiers actually did a nice job on the offensive glass, getting almost 40% of their missed shots as rebounds. And outside of that one rebound they gave up late to Minnesota, they did a good job holding Minnesota off on the offensive glass. But that obviously is an ironic thing to call as a positive when an offensive rebound cost you the game. And I think for the second straight game last year, we were actually in Bloomington for the IU-Minnesota game, and Nate Mason absolutely went off, and he did it again. So Indiana's inability to defend an opposing guard obviously came back to haunt them tonight. But anything else from an individual perspective that stood out to your guys tonight, or anything else from this actual game that you want to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of touched on it, and then we went down a completely different road. So we'll try to circle back to something with the game. You mentioned Juwan Morgan. I thought he played, continues to look a little bit more healthy. I thought tonight looked as healthy as he has in weeks. And so while, he's still dealing with some injuries, I thought he played well. He certainly didn't shoot the ball all that great. It was just 3 of 12 from the floor, but got to the line 7 times and made all 7, had 7 rebounds, 3 of those on the offensive end, and a couple blocks. So I thought he played a really good game, and then you look back again at, little plays here and there. He missed that dunk where he was going through the lane and, wasn't the wrong play to try to dunk it. But, it's just another one in a 1-point game. You can come up with, 15 different things that could have made the difference. But I thought he was another guy to single out. And Mick Swain continues to play with at a high effort level. Did turn the ball over 3 times, which, has been a concern with him. It's very important, I think, to get him the ball in certain spots and where he can catch it and go right up with it. But I thought just activity level wise, he certainly brought some things and was asked to play additional minutes in the first half when Davis got into foul trouble.
Yeah, I thought I would agree with Andy. I think Mick Swain did some good things. That dunk he had was pretty sweet. And then he lost the ball going out of bounds a few times dribbling, which, look, Freddie, just like you shouldn't shoot a 15-foot jump shot, don't dribble. Just if it's going to be more than one dribble, just eat the ball. Just give it up. Do whatever. But Juwan Morgan, I would agree, the effort was what got me and sort of a decisiveness to go to the hoop. The 3 of 12 from the floor is a little concerning. 1 of 4 from 3. I think his foot's still not back because his jump shot looks a little off. He stepped into one that he had great rhythm on and nailed it. But he took a couple that he didn't look set and didn't look comfortable, I guess is the right way to put it. But then, a couple of those he missed were real close to the hoop where I thought on a few of them he probably got fouled. But they were ones he missed, and a couple times somebody was able to, get the offensive rebound and either put it back in or kick it out and start over again. So you don't look too harshly on that. But what really was important was his effort level and his intensity. I thought that was definitely up to what we've been expecting. But again, on the same token, he's got to be better, and I don't think he will be all the way to where we would like him to be until next season, because I think that he's hurt, and I don't think it's something that's going to get better till the year's over. I think the more you play on a hurt foot, the more it's going to hurt you. The best thing for him would be taking a month off or something, and there's no way for that to happen at this point of the season with Ananobi out.
Yeah, I mean, he's just such a productive menace for Indiana, menace to opposing teams when he's playing healthier. And he looked better almost every game, and it was nice to see because I thought he was Indiana's best player in the first half. And really, at the start of the second half, some of his offensive rebounds, and even though he wasn't making buckets, the four free throws he hit early in the second half kind of kept Indiana in it because Minnesota really came out and kind of put it to Indiana at the start of the second half. And Juwan made a few plays to just kind of keep Indiana hanging around at like 49-42, and then they were able to get on a little run and get back into it. So it was nice to see him come back and have another solid game. All righty, well, coming up on the assembly call, we will get to our last call, our final thoughts. And our final thoughts are brought to you by our friends at Yogi's Bar and Grill in Bloomington, where you get 10% off your food during IU basketball games. Yes, 10% off your entire food order during IU games at Yogi's. That's good for road games. That's good for home games. So if you want to go hang out next Tuesday for the Illinois or for the Iowa game, go to Yogi's, tell them the assembly call sent you, get 10% off your food order, and then stick around after the game because the assembly call will be playing live on the screen and the audio, so you can sit there and hopefully celebrate an IU road victory or commiserate an IU loss. Either one, we will be there, and we hope that you will be too. Join us, watch us from Yogi's. All righty, last call coming up next. Stick with us. All right, you are listening to the assembly call, wrapping up here as we dissect Indiana's 75-74 loss to the Minnesota Golden Gophers. I'm Jared Morris here with Ryan Phillips and Andy Bottoms. You know, and I think the great irony of tonight's game is that for 39 minutes and 57 seconds, you really could praise Indiana's effort and their ability to get 50-50 balls and just really grind it out. And that last play of the game, as you watch the replay, you just see so many Hoosiers standing around, not boxing out, not getting a rebound, and it proved to be the decisive points. And if ever there has been an example of you've got to play 40 minutes to get a win, especially on the road in the Big Ten, it certainly was tonight. And it's a win that I'm sure will haunt this coach, haunt these players, because it was a chance to build some positive momentum and start moving forward toward the end of this season. But unfortunately, it just continued the misery that we've all been feeling. So with that as preface, let's go to our final thoughts. Ryan, we'll go to you first. Last call.
Yeah, I just would say that, you know, I guess I'd reiterate that, you know, this team is, I think the big problem with this team, it's not effort, and we've talked about it all year. It's just a lack of direction, a lack of leadership. That falls on a lot of people's shoulders, especially, you know, the coaching staff as well. But also some of the players, you know, for not stepping up into those roles they knew coming into the season they were going to have to occupy. So I think that there's a lot of blame to go around for this. And I think that it's fine to be frustrated as a fan. If you really, and we've talked about this before as well, if you're really not enjoying this and you're really, it's really making it hard for you to go about your day and function, then just put it aside for a while. Don't watch a game for a while. Don't comment online. Don't, you know, because this is supposed to be fun and it's supposed to be entertaining. It's supposed to be something that, that make, you know, supplements your life, makes your life better, makes it more enjoyable. If it's just something that's making you mad, then, you know, give it a break for a while. We're contractually obligated to be here. We have to be here. We, but
we love it.
But man, it would be nice to take a night off every once in a while. But, you know,
hey, you had the night off tonight and then you came crawling back. So that's your fault.
I apologize for showing up, clearly phoning it in. No, but, you know, the night after the loss to Michigan on the road, I would have liked to have been anywhere else but that postgame show. So, you know, I know how it is. I know it hurts. I know it sucks to deal with. But you know what? If it's really ruining your nights to watch these games and to get sucked in like this and then be disappointed at the end, just don't do it for a while. Give it a break. Maybe come back for the Big Ten tournament. You still listen to the show, though. You can hear from us what happened and listen to us yell. But you know,
because the Big Ten tournament is just a source
it's gonna,
of huge.
It's make you, feel, you guys, it's going to make you feel so much better because nothing bad ever happens there.
If you walk away from IU basketball, do not choose the Big Ten tournament as your re-entry point. Okay, ever.
That's a fair point. I misspoke. Yeah. But no, I mean, just try and have fun with this, whatever it is. Find the positive. Watch for Deron Davis. Watch for Devontae Green's development. Watch for Josh Newkirk showing real effort. and maybe starting to show some leadership. Watch for what might be the last few games of Thomas Bryant's Indiana career, but you know that this is going to be rough the last couple games. And if you're going to watch, you know, be prepared for that. Don't, you know, don't go in expecting this to all turn around and be rainbows at some point. So that's all I'd say is try and have fun with this while you can. Hopefully things will get better.
Andy, last call.
You know, it's funny that I said at the beginning how I just was kind of waiting on something bad to happen no matter where the game was. But there were times during the game that I allowed myself to think like, well, if they win this game, I was like, Ohio State looks pretty terrible. They could probably beat them. And then, you know, Iowa hasn't done very much and the Northwestern game's at home. And I was like, yeah, maybe this will be all right. So then I should have just went with my instinct of you know, this – you know, this really may not work out, and there may be reason to think that that something is going to go wrong in this one. I think, to a certain extent, though, that shows that there's still some hopefulness left inside of me, as disappointing and as frustrated as some of these games are. And while I don't think that means that this team is going to turn things around and make the NCAA tournament, I think I would be pretty insane to think that. And maybe people already think that we are insane for coming on and continuing to put ourselves through this for doing it with these shows. But I guess, you know, on some level, it just suggests, you know, we've got a few games left. We'll kind of ride it out with everybody else and support the team and hope for the best. And I think, you know, even in the midst of what felt like impending doom, I allowed myself that and would, you know, let yourself do that in whatever way that manifests itself, whether that's Deron Davis or Devontae Green or however that might be, some kind of glimpse to the future. It's still okay to feel hopeful, even stupidly hopeful. That some of these things are going to be a sign, maybe not for this year, but for the future. And you kind of got to maybe get yourself in a different frame of mind to kind of watch and try to enjoy some of these games as we go down the stretch, because it's getting pretty tough to find new things to come up with and new things to say. So as we look to rebrand this somehow around Deron Davis, you know, that's just the direction that we'll need to take it. And that's what we'll do for from here on out. But no, definitely, you know, disappointing loss, did some things better. But another close game where they really struggled to execute down the stretch, as you said, just gave up way too many points and couldn't get stopped when they really needed them for, as much as the defense had been, decent, although aided by some incredibly poor shot selection at different points during the game, just not enough to get over the hump. And that just seems like it's going to wind up being the story of this team when things are written, when it's all said and done.
Yes, it does. You know, I'll tell you why you keep watching these games. And it's because when Indiana does inevitably win again, and it's Indiana basketball, so we will win again, and there will be another Big Ten title, and there will be more trips, more deep runs in the NCAA tournament. We don't know when they'll happen, but they will happen. And it will make them that much sweeter when you know that you stuck with the team during the downtimes. Because if you bail and you just come back when the team is winning, sure, that's nice and you enjoy it, but you don't appreciate it as much as you do when you stick with the team through the downtimes. And in a weird way, it's like any other relationship. And so that's why we keep doing this. And that's why, you know, so many great Indiana fans keep coming back. And Indiana fans show their support for the program in a lot of different ways. You know, some do it with optimism, some do it in a more pessimistic way, whatever. You know, that's kind of up to you to choose how you're going to do it. But that's why you stick with this team. And that's why even when the team is 5-9 and struggling and can't seem to get out of their own way and can't buy a victory, you stick with it so that when those wins come in the future, and those wins will come in the future, you will be able to appreciate them as much or more than anybody because you stuck with this team. So that's why I will do it. That's why my two co-hosts will do it. And that's why we hope that you will do it too. And that means joining us Tuesday night. It's another late start. I mean, you know, on as just an added bonus, we get to watch these games starting at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So, you know, nice and late, which is always nice and a good way to induce nightmares right before bed. But that's all right. Come with us, celebrate a win, commiserate after a loss, whatever it is. We'll work through it together after IU, Iowa on Tuesday night. And hey, you know, sometimes you don't have to squint too hard for the positives, like tonight, where you see a guy like Deron Davis play well and show how important of a piece he's going to be to IU's future and to IU's present. We just got to keep him on the court more. So that's what I will walk away from this game thinking, because it's a good positive thought, and that will help lead me into Tuesday night. So we hope you'll join us for the assembly call Tuesday night after IU, Iowa. That game is a 9 o'clock Eastern start. It is on ESPN2, I believe. So enjoy your weekend off from IU basketball, and but not yet, because we will have a radio show coming for you on Friday. So we'll be able to dive more into this. So after that, you can enjoy your weekend And then we'll talk to you on Tuesday night after IU Iowa. Have a good night, everybody.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.